The United Nations General Assembly met yesterday to discuss what some experts are calling a nightmare and a catastrophic threat to global health, antibiotic resistance, and an explosion of superbugs across the globe. It's only the fourth time ever that the General Assembly has met to discuss a health issue instead of more typical issues like war and the global economy.
By and large, antibiotics have been a powerful tool in the world of medicine. They also play a big role in agricultural production. But these drugs have been used so widely and for so long that infectious organisms are actually adapting to antibiotics, making the drugs much less effective in some cases. So what does that mean for your health going forward? And what solutions, if any, are on the table?
Dina Fine-Marin joins us now. She's health and medicine editor at Scientific American. Dina, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Hi, good afternoon.
Well, Dina, we've been hearing about this issue on and off for a while now. How bad are things when it comes to antibiotic resistance now?
Sure. Well, the bad news, unfortunately, has really been piling up more and more in the last couple of years. Last fall, for example, we got the first report from China from scientists that had detected resistance to a last-line antibiotic in meat animals and in people, likely from the use of that antibiotic in livestock to speed agricultural production. That may not sound like that big a deal, but in recent months, we've seen the spread of that same resistance gene here in the U.S. and elsewhere, and that type of action is really what limits our ability to use these drugs for when we ourselves get infections.
And the UN General Assembly taking this up, does that give some kind of sense of the urgent situation we're in now?
Exactly. It really elevated the level of discussion to that of, you know, presidents and prime ministers talking about it. And actually, what came out of the meeting was what's called a political declaration, basically a non-binding agreement that was in all these countries that had come to this meeting saying, yeah, we are really concerned about this problem and we recognize it's something we really need to take action on. What this political declaration called for was both the creation of this interagency coordination group to spearhead future action, and they called for a new report. The report is due in 2 years, and it will detail sort of a further recommendation and action plan about how countries should be tackling this problem. But the countries that all signed on to this declaration are saying, yes, we intend to slash the use of antibiotics to promote growth in farm animals. We intend to talk about how we could limit their use, these drugs' use among humans only when they are truly necessary, and to ramping up education about these issues. It says we want a better understanding of superbugs' biology, and we plan to monitor the scale of this problem better. But nowhere in this declaration was there any agreement that was binding or any sort of official targets, like nothing saying we're going to try to cut our use by X percent or anything like that.
Right. I hear a lot of words you're saying, like resolutions and reports and things like that, but nothing that actually mandates actual action.
That's correct.
We're
talking for that there will be a report.
Right. We're talking about antibiotic resistance and superbugs with Dina Fine-Marin. She's with Scientific American. Dina, at the start of your piece, you take this, you know, into an actual doctor's office, I think an emergency room. Can you talk about what doctors are actually confronting now?
Yeah, doctors really face a difficult decision when someone stumbles into, whether it be an emergency room or the doctor's office, with something like a urinary tract infection, for example. Whatever drug they choose to prescribe may limit the capability of that drug in the future, and that's because whenever we use a drug, whether it be on a human or an animal, the drug may kill susceptible bacteria, but it also fuels resistance by allowing the few microbes that are able to survive the drug to thrive and to multiply. So in a story that ran ahead of this meeting, I talk about how one doctor is really facing this dilemma because he can't get lab results back quickly enough to know exactly what microbe might be responsible for an infection in his patient. So if he uses a broad-spectrum drug, something that would kill a multitude of ills, that is limiting his opportunity and the opportunity of other doctors to use that drug in the future. But in the short term, he needs to balance, well, my patient is in pain versus this long-term question of having this drug available.
Let's get into some possible solutions, Dina. You mentioned one, trying to cut back on unnecessary use of antibiotics for patients with viruses that antibiotics won't help, and the widespread use in livestock. Are we changing our ways on either of those?
Well, we are trying. Doctors are trying to use less of these drugs in their doctor's offices. What has really been called for is consumers like us to ask our doctor when we go to the doctor's office if we truly need an antibiotic to sort of fuel culture change in that way. A lot of us, when we're sick, we might think, okay, I would really like a pill to fix my problem. But if it's something like a cold or the flu, any drug is not going to help us get over that because we have a virus, not something caused by bacteria. And hospitals are trying to take steps to use fewer drugs as well. They call it antibiotic stewardship. And that's having some mixed result. But again, all of these actions are pretty voluntary, so it's really difficult to make change overnight.
And what about just inventing our way out of this, developing more new antibiotics? Not as easy as it sounds?
No, it isn't. Pharmaceutical companies say it's really difficult to go about developing this because there isn't a really good financial return for that kind of action. You can obviously make a lot more profit in the short term if you develop something like a new cancer drug, for example, than a new antibiotic that, indeed, because we're trying to safeguard the antibiotic, we wouldn't use it right away. We would try to use it rather sparingly, so obviously the profit margin for that wouldn't be that high. But there are immediate actions we can take. Consumers, for example, should get preventive vaccines to try to prevent them from getting sick in the first place and from spreading illness. We should wash our hands, our vegetables, our fruits, our countertops. And as far as developing more drugs, at the UN meeting, they talked about this need to create new incentives for pharmaceutical companies to develop these new classes of drugs, perhaps from government, perhaps from somewhere else, that would provide a financial reason to try to develop these kinds of things. But there's also been talk from scientists that I speak with about some things that could be used as a complement to drugs. For example, introducing tiny bacterial parasites called bacteriophages that could combat some pathogens. That's one area of research. Another area of research is what is called probiotics, products that would target the gut microbiome in the hope of changing or tamping down problematic bacterial colonization in the body. That could maybe, if research goes well, one day be used. Or maybe doing something like, as one clinician suggested to me, employing iron sequestration technologies, something that would passively starve microbes so they cannot grow in the body. These all are sort of right now pie-in-the-sky solutions in the sense that we don't have enough progress. There isn't anything under review by the FDA for immediate clearance that I'm aware of. These are just ideas about different ways we can attack this problem, which is indeed very pressing.
And Dina, briefly, we have a caller. I don't have quite time to take him on the air, but Joshua in Oshkosh wants to know more about antibiotic use in agriculture, how big a part of the problem this is.
It's a very significant part of the problem. There's tension in the greater global community about, you know, breaking down the percentage of one area versus another, but there's widespread recognition that not just in the U.S. and in developed countries, but also in many developing nations, this is a growing concern. One of the difficulties is in countries, China, for example, where there's a growing desire to have more meat in the diet as the middle class grows, that to get these animals to market quickly, especially in subpar conditions, you would preemptively use these antibiotics. They're also used in people to help an animal get to market more quickly and survive the conditions that may not be really great for health. And when that's happening, that's really contributing to the problem. So that's going to be an ongoing discussion on the global and the national level.
Dina, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
That's Dina Fine-Marin, health and medicine editor at Scientific American. She joined us to talk about the UN General Assembly's session on antibiotic resistance and what can be done about the growing issue of resistant bacteria strains around the globe.